Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional, Mr. Satya N. Gupta from New Delhi, India. Mr. Gupta, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh Ji.
Mr. Gupta is an international expert in NGN, which is Next Generation Network Technologies. He's also the chairman of the Blockchain for Productivity Forum. So, Mr. Gupta, let's first talk about NGN. For our audience, tell us what does NGN mean, and then we'll talk about telecom.
Thank you, Ashutosh Ji. Actually, NGN, as it stands for Next Generation Networks, it means the futuristic networks, but main characteristics of anything to be called NGN is it has to make use of packetization as a technology or IP, internet protocol. All the internet revolution is based on TCP/IP protocol. So any network element, if it has to fall under the definition of NGN, it has to make use of this IP as a protocol or packetization as a technology. So you can say anything beyond 4G, fourth generation mobile revolution, will fall under NGN, anything which is actually today, because it is an old name. Very so that time it was for future. Now you can say it is for anything which is existing and future.
Very
that is the next generation networks.
So Gupta Sahib, you know, you have seen very significant changes in telecom over the last two decades. Tell me some of the significant ones that have happened.
Oh, great. Actually, I have seen it actually more than three decades, just to make it more wider. And it all started in 90s, actually, my association and more. But the actual revolution in India in telecom started in 1999. That, of course, is two decades back, wherein the new telecom policy 99 was actually announced by the government, led by Honorable Atal Bihari Vajpayee ji. And that time they brought a great revolution in the telecom licensing, regulation, service, everything. They separated the monolithic telecom service DOT into three parts. They created an independent regulator called TRAI, Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. Incidentally, I was the founder, joint secretary of that authority. And then they also separated the licensing and policy making within government DOT. And the service provision was also corporatized by corporation of BSNL that time. Earlier, all three things were done by the same entity called Department of Telecom or Government of India. So that is the starting point of the telecom revolution that brought a lot of private participation, lot of investment and innovations. So that was the starting point. But after that, they have not stopped actually. So first, the private sector was invited in the mobile sector. Then they were invited to participate in the fixed line, then long distance, internet long distance, which is OCS those days, was converted into a corporation first as VSNL and then privatized to Tata's actually. So that was another revolution or another development. And in the process, they went from 2G, the 2G was the initial thing. So they skipped the first G, which was analog. So they started with digital to start with. And then they went to 3G. Now they are 4G, talking about 5G. And in between, they also privatized the internet licensing, almost deregulated kind of thing. And with that, a lot of things have happened. Unified licensing was introduced. And now VNO was their virtual network operator, and they have not stopped. They are going on and on and on.
Fantastic, fantastic. But, you know, I remember when in 1997, when we came back from overseas and we got our first mobile, it was a very, very valuable device in our hands. But over the years, telecom has been commoditized. You know, like in the old days, the post and telegraph used to be, or the DOT used to be, it's now become a utility.
Yes, please.
Where do you think value addition will now happen in these large telecom players like the private ones?
Oh, yeah. Actually, telecom, and for that matter, the voice communication has become a commodity and Correct. It is almost free. Mm. But when you talk of data, it still have a value and a niche or a USP, the data, and that is the future. And as you say, data is the new oil. Mm. So the data is still not the commodity yet, actually. Right. But yes, it is going there, as you have mentioned. So first thing is how to supply the high-speed broadband connectivity instead of just voice communication kind of thing. And that is where NGN plays a role, because NGN is all about data and internet, in fact. Mm. So that is the starting point. But that is not enough, because even data connectivity is also just a pipe. We call it a dump pipe, actually.
Correct.
But then a lot of content, the value addition will come through what we call content. The content can come in the form of OTT. You are seeing that over the top, this video, YouTube, right. Facebook. Mm-hmm. That is the main thing. And in that also, you have to add more and more content there. Mm-hmm. In addition to the video, over the top, then gaming also, then these platforms actually. So where you, the telco have to add value to survive and sustain is the content part. And with the content, they have to convert their network into what we call a platform. Mm-hmm. Platformization is the new buzzword. Earlier, NGN was the buzzword, packetization, and we used to say packetize or perish. Mm-hmm. So unless you convert from voice dominated operator to the data dominated, you will go away. And mm-hmm. that is what has happened mm-hmm. to many of the telcos. But now it is platformization. Mm-hmm. Means either you platformize yourself or perish. Mm-hmm. And platformization is all about content mm-hmm. and customer oriented services. So that is what is the trend.
Fascinating, fascinating. In fact, when we look at the fintech revolution, I was seeing some data. They say that India has the largest number of fintech transactions in the world because of the NGN. You know, we are double the size of China. What do you think are the newer changes that are going to come because of NGN?
Oh, yes, actually, you have put it right. It is the fintech thing is already delivering and the transaction, but the transaction have just not come because of the NGN alone. They have come because of the India stack called Aadhaar and UPI. So that is the content part, actually. Now more and more content has to come, and that is what. So the NGN, which is more like, let us say, a carriage part of this or a bearer kind of thing, is the NGN. But on top of that, at the application layer, these platformization has to happen, and India stack is playing an important role, backed by UPI and Aadhaar. And new thing which is coming to fintech, and that is the talk of the town in the parliament, is the blockchain.
Correct.
So blockchain can revolutionize everything. Correct. It has already revolutionized fintech in a way.
So Gupta Sahib, I will come to blockchain as a separate subject, because I know you are an expert there. But I want to have, I have two more questions for you on telecom, then I'll come to blockchain.
Yes, please.
So, you mentioned about data being the new oil.
Yes.
Tell me, how will we mine this data to make money?
Oh, yes, that is $1 million question, Ashutosh ji. Mm-hmm. And it is very simple and obvious, actually. The data mining, the word itself means you have to make money. And it is all about big data, data analytics kind of thing, using AI and ML. So you can really extract values from the data for your decision making. Like all these things are happening, actually. Google is doing the same thing. Facebook is doing the same thing. They are mining the data, actually, by using AI and ML and then virtual realities. So all these new tools which are coming actually, they are helping to convert your data into dollars actually. That is what I mean by mining. And you have to use technology, again, technology, next generation technology. That is also called what is called digital transformation, actually. Your data mining also have to be transformed itself by using the cognitics, artificial intelligence, machine learning.
Very interesting. And one more question, Gupta Saab, which is on 5G.
Yes.
We already have 4G. 5G will make our networks faster. But how will 5G change our lives?
Oh, yeah. Actually, though, there is normally we compare these Gs, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G by two things. G. One is the data download, which you have mentioned earlier. It was 2 MB, then 10 MB, then 100 MB and 1 GB. And now we are talking about 10 GB and we are not stopping. People are talking about 6G also. Mm. That is one parameter. The other parameter of this generation is the latency, the round trip delay. It used to be 300 milliseconds, brought down by 250, 50 and 10. And now they are talking less than 1 millisecond. So there are some applications which actually need a delay less than 1 millisecond, like these operation, remote surgeries and autonomous cars. In addition to that, 5G brings some new paradigms, actually. One of them is, they call it slicing, virtual private network. You can have your private network. You can carry your network with you by slicing. You can get the quality of service on demand. Up to 4G, though they will claim will give you 1 gigabit, but actually they may give you 10 megabit and you may not even know that they have downgraded you. But in 5G, if they say 1 gigabit, it will be 1 gigabit. And then it can serve massive number of people at the same time in the crowded area. And the other thing 5G brings to the table is the IoT, Internet of Things, actually. Internet of Things, the sensors, all these things will be served by the 5G in a dedicated manner. And hence, you can automatize your work. You can automatize your lifestyle also. And that is what 5G promises to bring to the table. Basically, they can be the enabler and accelerator of the digital transformation in whatever you do.
What a great explanation, Gupta. Thank you so much. So let's talk now about blockchain.
Yes,
please. For our viewers and listeners, first tell us, what is blockchain and how can it help in increasing transparency?
Oh, yes. The blockchain, as the name stands, it's a chain of some blocks, and block means a data packet kind of thing. So it actually comes from the distributed ledger technology, distributed ledger technology, DLT. So it is a ledger of the data and it is distributed. The distributed means it is not consolidated at one place, neither it is controlled or manned by one organization. So it is ledger which is available in the cloud that itself brings the transparency, of course, because nobody is controlling it, nobody is overseeing it, there is no middleman in the middle. So all these things make it very, very transparent. Actually, it's more like a public network like internet, but it is not normal internet. Like earlier we had a public internet, then we got Internet of Things, and now we got this blockchain, which is also called Internet of Value. So it stores value wherever it is in form of the blocks of the data. It is available everywhere and it is immutable. It has three main elements. One is, it is immutable. You cannot alter it yourself, actually, though you may have fed the data, but you cannot alter. Once you have fed the data, it is available now with every user of blockchain. So you cannot change it single-handedly. So that means it is immutable. Then it needs what is called crypto. That is the main thing. And that have brought this Bitcoin, Ethereum, and is slightly a bad name also as far as India is concerned. It is all about the mindset issue here. But then the crypto can really protect your data. It is very good. And also with the what is called encryption, you can keep it safe. And main thing is because there is no middleman and it is all a sovereign kind of thing, what you call crowdsourcing validation happens here. So you cannot have better transparency than that. And then trust is also there because there is no one man who controls the show.
Wonderful. But tell me, Gupta Sahib, in an open platform, which blockchain is, and it is, as you mentioned, packetized data, or as someone else told me, it's like railway bogies being shunted all over, but ultimately coming together as one train and keep moving.
Yes.
How will you ensure data security and privacy?
Oh, yes, that is a million-dollar question. Again, as far as privacy is concerned, actually, there are two parts of blockchain. Now you can have a permissionless blockchain, which is totally free, and you have to do it yourself as well as privacy is concerned.
Right.
So you can use your own encryption at the application level, and you are protected in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if you want to create a virtual blockchain, like in internet, we create what is called intranet, VPN. Mm-hmm. Same way in the blockchain also you can do as an organization, but then it will not be a real blockchain in the sense you use the blockchain as a technology, but convert your own application dedicated to you and which can be just private to you actually. So that is called permissioned blockchain. So there are both. Hyperledger is one which is open, like these, the company which does it. And so you can have your permissioned blockchain also, which is not the really, really free or open blockchain.
Okay.
So a open platform, you can convert a private one. So that is what technology helps these days.
Wonderful.
And these are the very, very positive application of blockchain.
Mm. So my next question to you is that what are some of the areas that are being considered initially for implementation of blockchain technology?
Oh, yes, Ashutoshji, very good question. Actually, though it has delivered in fintech, but the blockchain per se has a solution to any problem you have in any domain, any area, actually. Blockchain logo says, I have the solution. Please bring me the problem.
I see.
So that is it. So you can use it anywhere. In India, we started using it in telecommunication, like the do not call registry. The regulator was actually struggling for 20 years. Then they used blockchain to control that minans of unsolicited communication. That was the first application. In addition, blockchain can be used for agriculture using sensors and also distributing the data everywhere. So that is another application. On the health side also, now everywhere they are, actually wherever you have problem, use blockchain. That is the, you can say, message. Even you can do electronic voting by blockchain, because we are already doing EVM in India.
Correct.
So you can do even electronic voting from your home as a voter, and you get the better, you can say, trust and better reliability of your electronic voting. So that is an immediate application, you can see. And all your artificial intelligence applications where you have a doubt, there is ethical issues. So use the blockchain layer on the AI and you bring trust to all your AI thing.
Very interesting.
So that is where.
So two other areas that I thought I'd ask you, which are pain points in India. One is records of land. And the second is the very, very slow judicial processes, 30-40 years waiting list. Can blockchain help here also?
Oh, yes, exactly, Ashutoshji. I should have mentioned that land record. That is an application which is already being used by Karnataka government. That is called asset management. So the blockchain can really help in asset management. Land record is just a starting point.
Correct.
It can also help you to manage these railway bogies and wagons, what you called, which are roaming here and there.
Correct.
So with blockchain, you can track them much better and have a record which nobody can tamper with. Even human failure cannot also tamper it. So that is for given, actually. Asset management is one of the eminent application of blockchain, which is already doing good in India, and it has to be basically scaled up.
Correct.
About the judicial thing, of course, though I don't have immediate idea, because it needs so many other things other than the blockchain. Blockchain help directly, but first you have to have what is called a judicial infrastructure upgradation. The Chief Justice, Honorable Chief Justice, is already asking for that, and they made a corporation like NHAI for creation. So there, when they use the technology, they have to keep blockchain in mind for record keeping. Tamper-proof record keeping can happen through blockchain.
Wonderful. And Gautam, my last question to you on blockchain is that how can this technology help in e-governance for governments?
Oh, yes, that also. Of course, for e-governance, what we need a digital transformation of our executive, our government people. And when you go for digital transformation, you have to make use of all the enabling technologies, which include your NGN, your 5G, and also blockchain. Because blockchain can help you to basically consolidate your decision making. And one area where you have asked me, I'm working on that as a research, that is called PPP projects, public-private partnership projects of the government. Okay. All those projects, whatever are signed, either there is a cost overrun, time overrun, there are arbitration and litigations, all of them. So if you use blockchain attribute called smart contract, smart contract is one of the attributes of blockchain by Ethereum. So by smart contract, you can automate the contracting process or a template of a concession agreement or PPP, which will be tamper-proof and dispute-free kind of thing. And it will take care of all the stakeholders, all the deliverables, actually, whatever have to be achieved. So that is a great thing which can help in the government PPP projects to start with. And as I mentioned, whatever problem you have, whatever pain points you have, blockchain have the answer and solution. Just have to bring the problem.
Very interesting. Gupta Saab, on that note, thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you. You know, thank you for sharing such incredible knowledge you have both about NGN and blockchain. And I must say, talking to you, I have learned many, many new things today. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Thank you, Asutesh ji, for this great opportunity. And your questions were really great, and they made me to think also. And I will be better prepared next time, if at all.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.